Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening, good evening. When the stipler was very young, the stipler, back we saw Kanievsky, Reb Chaim Kanievsky's father, Gebolim Chaim Lechaim, the stipler, lived in 1986, I believe. When the stipler was very young, before the war, he was learning in Kollel, and he wanted to, there was one particular sefer called the Imrei Moshe, which he was very keen to learn. A sefer called Imrei Moshe, quite a rare, it's not a standard sefer, which was a new sefer then printed. If I'm not mistaken, I forgot to double check, but I think that the mechaber is called Moshe Sokolovsky. And it's a sefer which is, it's not a standard sefer, it's a modern sefer which just came out. And the stipler, as a man, he wanted to look into that particular sefer. It wasn't so widely spread and widely publicized, but he was keen to just learn that particular sefer. He wanted to learn it. And he was unable to, the Bispos Medrash didn't have, and the local surrounding Bati Midrashim didn't have the sefer in Moshe. So he said, I'm going to ask the author, the Mechaber himself, if I can, I can ask him for it. He wrote a letter to the Mechaber, the Moshe. And he said, please, any way you could, I'm stuck, perhaps I can just... And Imam Moshe very kindly said, listen, I don't have a lot of money myself in my own right, but I can see you're a serious young man. I can feel from the letter you're writing, you're desperately keen to learn a bit. So I'll send you on my cheshbon, I'll send you the sefer. It will be my present to you, it will be my thing to you. And what he didn't write, but was the fact was that he was very poor himself, and every sefer he would... he wouldn't sell, would be financially quite... it's not like nowadays that you print out 5,000, 7,000 svarim for literally, it costs so cheap nowadays. He wasn't like that. Then it was an investment, and every sefer counted to bring in a bit of money. But he said, I can see on this particular man, he's so serious about his learning, I'll make it my pleasure to donate, as it were, the sefer to him. And so it was, he sent to the stipler, the sefer said it will be yours, then he wrote it to him. Little did they know that just a few years later the war broke out, and not only the fact that svarim became very scarce, but in fact it was very hard to, svarim got burned, svarim got lost, svarim got, many, many tens of thousands of svarim, we didn't even, the svarim got destroyed and burnt and everything, and some svarim got lost forever. The Imam Moshe himself was nifter. And after the war, they wanted to republish, this is going back quite a few years after, they wanted to republish the Imrei Moshe, but they couldn't find an Imrei Moshe. Literally, every single sefer Imrei Moshe, every single one of them, it couldn't be found. And there was only one particular, they searched and they looked, there was one sefer survived those years. And there was a sefer which was by the stipler. That was the only physical sefer which had survived was the copy which was in the stipler's house, which by then he had emigrated to Eretz Yisrael, well, to Palestine and to Eretz Yisrael, and he took his phone with. And there was this, one of the phone which he had was a sefer in Moshe, which was very dear to him because he had studied and learned from it very, very, very thoroughly. So the only sefer they had, and that's the sefer they used to republish and reprint the Imam Moshe, was the one which was found by the stipler. The stipler said, for me, you can see that the Imam Moshe felt that he was doing a toiva and doing a favor, which was the fact as well, which was of course the reality as well. But at the same time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always pays back a toiva. Somebody does a mitzvah will never ever lose out. And only the schus of that chesed which he had done to the stipler, in that schus it was possible to reprint the Imam Moshe today. I remember you using the Imam Moshe in my Kollel days. It's a very important sefer. And it was only the schus of that chesed that he had done that Kodesh Baruch Hu paid back the schus of being able to republish it later. Imam Moshe is on Shas, on Sugis, it's in Yonim. It doesn't, not on every single, it's various topics within Shas. Yeah, in Yonim. Okay.
It was dropped into the Russian army, and he told me he's not going to break Shabbos. He was determined he wasn't going to break Shabbos. So he told me, you have to walk a gauntlet if you want to keep. You have to walk through, and all the other soldiers take his shirt off, and everybody whipped him. walking on the
gauntlet. Oh, what? And
he said, every time he keeps Shabbos, like
he treasures every single Shabbos. Unbelievable, yeah. Yeah. Very good. Okay, Rabbi Isai. This week, Mitzvah, we're going to be learning some of the very important halachas in the Chassidus. I want to learn this week, Be'ezer Hashem, we are up to see if you dalev. First, we're going to talk about a bit more about the measurements of the holes, etc. A little bit more about that, and then hopefully very shortly we'll be penetrating Sifu Dalib, which is the halachas of torn tzitzis. What happens if they're torn? And then I want to discuss in Mitzvah Hashem the way of making the tzitzis. It's really important to know how to actually make tzitzis. So that will be discussed as well, and hopefully leading towards the end of the siman, Beis Hashem, by the end of the week. Rabbi says, if you'd Aleph. Im hagdil shekoirin urailze. Now, what the urailze is the fringes. Hurachov, loyatel boys at tzitzis. This is the fringes. Rabbi says, most tzitzis, the talis gadol, not the tzitzis, the talis gadol, they've got the fringes on the side. This is not by coincidence that they know it, thank you. That they have these horizontal fringes. There is good reason for that. Now the question is, we spoke last year, extensively about the correct location of the hole in terms of where the hole should be regarding the tzitzis. Remember we spoke about that? So the question is, so what do we do about the fringes? Are they included or not? Do we count these fringes as well or not?
As a measurement.
We know we've got a minimum and a maximum distance between the edge and the hole. Do you count or do you discount the fringes? Yeah, so in this particular tzitzis, which is actually common nowadays, the fringes are not by the area of the whole edge, the whole corner. We don't do the horizontal fringes. But Shulchan Aruch is now addressing if you don't have that fancy corner, that reinforcement, and the fringes were to carry on all the way, like they do over here, they would carry on there as well. Would you include those fringes in the cheshbon, yes or no? So that's what the Shulchan Aruch is addressing over here. And he says as follows, Imagdil shekoyin uzayla, urilayza, urochav, if it's wide, liyatel boys at tzitzis, you certainly cannot attach the tzitzis. If you've got particularly wide fringes, you don't attach the tzitzis, you don't make the hole and attach the tzitzis to the fringes. Alright. Le'atel boy is a tzitzis. Mitel boy, possibly, if you were to just attach the tzitzis to the fringe as opposed to the actual baguette, it's certainly possible. Why? Talkanafe vik dayem ksev, it says on the knaf of the baguette, it must be on the garment and not on the fringes. Vizen nechshav me'a baguette. So we'll get to that, what the meaning is, yeah. So, boys, he says, but you do count it in terms of the distance. So you can't count the fringes. The fringes can be counted. And therefore, if you have got extended fringes, you will be able to count that. Says the Shulchan Aruch. The Rama disagrees, and he says, no, V'tov shim do tshir kosher gudel b'lo yagdil. The Rama says, you discount the fringes, you don't count it. V'yeh b'toch gimel etzbois im agdil. He says, you should try to ignore it, okoponim lechumra, and you should not count it. What we do, Lemaiseh, because there is opinions either way, whether you count or discount, this is precisely why nowadays the reinforced area doesn't have fringes, so that we don't get into machloikas. By not having fringes, we've got no machloikas as to whether you will count it or not. If we were to have fringes, we'd have a bit of machloikas, the chumra, if you count this or not, and therefore we make it easy by not having it. I want to point out of here something which I didn't mention the earlier issue, which is really important. How do we count? Maybe I should pull this out again. How do we count? Now, we've got the minimum shear and the maximum shear about the distance from the edge to the hole. I want to know, in this particular tzitzis, in this particular diagram, you can see that it's loose. Very often, the tzitzis are done differently. How are they done? tight. And we mentioned already the reason why it's done, so there's a good reason for it. Why? So it doesn't slip down. There's a good reason why it's done like that. Because like this, it doesn't slip down. And we mentioned that it's got to be ala knaf, and we'll be talking about this image shem in the province if you dull it. So it's a good reason why it's done like this, because the tzitzis must be ala knaf, the tzitzis must be on the corner as opposed to, under the corner. Now, if you do it the tzitzis like this, that it is tied, I want to know, how do you measure it? Do you measure it the real distance from the edge to the hole, or the folded area you'd include in the cheshbon as well? So in this particular case that we have in front of us over here, it's very likely that the tzitzis would be, remember, you have to have at least more than knuckle to nail, which we said it's got to be 4 centimeters, yeah? So you probably would have a case over here in this particular tzitzis, would probably have apostle tzitzis probably, yeah? Because the hole is too close to the edge. So,
the folding of the...
Correct. So the Mishnah, that's right. So the Mishnah does say that you can ignore, you can include the folded part of the baguette will be part of the baguette. It's the fact that it's folded, you can disregard the fact that it's folded. No. Where do you see b'dievet? No, it's not b'dievet. No, it's just a way to calculate. You calculate the actual distance of the baguette, and that's part of the baguette. Even if it's folded, yeah. Pardon?
Very tightly folded.
Doesn't matter how much you fold it.
So the distance,
because the distance is between the hole and the edge of the baguette. Of the baguette, not what you actually have in front of you. Of the baguette. It's thin in the baguette.
The crinkle bit you disregard, the folded over crinkle bit.
Yeah, you disregard that. You just, yeah. And I know that a lot of people, when they make their tzitzis, even factories, and when it's manufactured, they will dafka make sure that it's a bit tight, because they want to avoid the other problem of it falling down, which is probably I'll show you where this Mishnah Berurah is. He says it in Siv Cotton. He says it was earlier, and I forgot to mention it on Thursday, so I've got to find it. Here it is, in Sif Kotten Mem Aleph. Yeah, it's to look at the end, last line of the Sif Kotten. Chenimos hanekev lemala mekesha agudol, valide akshir niskapel abeget, al jupochs mekesha agudol kosha, givim shal kuponim ashir ba'aknaf. Sif Kotten Mem Aleph. Yeah. No, this is not 1 second. Is this it? Let me just think. If you made it more than gimel. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, can you see Kosa Mogen Avom? In Zevkot Mem Aleph. About halfway through Zevkot Mem Aleph. Kosa Mogen Avom, I think that's what he's talking about. Let's just double check. Imoso Anekeb Le Malo Me Gimel. If you made the hole more than 3 fingers, which would make it possible. Even though you folded it now, and it's come short, and this kapra can offer shalimatim gimel posel, remains posel. Remains posel because the hole is further than three fingers. Yeah. And similarly, all the way around, if you've done the good shear, that's our case of in our talis of here. That if you've done it, it remains kosher, because ultimately it's an ishmael. Now you see that it doesn't sound like it's a bedieved at all. It doesn't say any bedieved or anything. It sounds like it's ideal. So we ignore the faults. That's. Ah, really? Maybe, I don't know, Mishnah doesn't seem to be saying that to be the other at all. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, we carry on. So that's in terms of what we saw nice in terms of the fringes. Okay, now, see if you'd base, top of page 44. Minayin, a minyan, chote atzitzios, bechol knap. How many strings go in the tzitzis? Four strings. Minyan chote atzitzis b'chol knap. Arba kufonim sheishmona. Four times two is eight. We fold them. So you've got four long ones, and you fold them. They go eight. You take four, you put them through the hole, and lo and behold, you're gonna have eight, unless something really went wrong. Vim hoisef. If you add, what if you fancy doing a fifth? Posel, it's posel. Now, there is a machlokes as to whether that's Bal Tosif or not. What's the argument it is Bal Tosif? What's the argument it's not Bal Tosif?
Yeah, the argument it is Bal Tosif is that a kaponim you're adding to it.
You're adding a fifth.
The argument it's not is that there's no fixed thing in stone that it's four and four. It's just a
very good. Yes, okay, that's it. Vim Hoisif Posel, Lemaise, either way, you have messed up your tzitzis by adding a fifth. So don't attempt to add a fifth. Yachter Rosh HaChutin Abo. Now, you cut them. Now, Yachter Rosh HaChutin Abo. Vitchim Be'aknaf V'ichpelem. You cut them, and then you put them through, and you double it over. V'oz Yushmoin, and then you've got eight. Now, what is the significance of the cutting that it says over here? Now, cutting, you've got to remember, nowadays we get the tzitzis, they are done to the centimeter, they are brilliantly done. They are just the right measure, just the right shear. They're folded, you've got all the right amounts, you've got the shamash included with a bit longer, everything is right. However, that's nowadays, 2021. Yeah.
No one might.
Yeah.
I make my own.
Yeah, so, pardon?
I tie my own.
Exactly. So they're all beautiful. However, that's nowadays. It used to be, when you get the strings, they may not be the right length, and therefore there was a need to actually cut it. So we have to remember, though, that if you cut it too late, you might get into trouble of tase velomina osui. So you've got to make sure that you cut it at an early stage. Otherwise, you will run into trouble tase. So Shulchan Aruch is telling us now, if you cut it, cut before you make the first double knot. Because once you've done the first double knot, you're probably going to, you've fulfilled the mitzvah already, on a deraisa level, and therefore you shouldn't cut later on again. Now I know we still sometimes cut, but that's because we're not doing a significant cut. We're just like trimming it. But if you were to cut to make it into a kosher string, then you have to do that in early stage. Mishabu over here mentions us something here. Mishabu mentions over here what we spoke earlier about the way it's cut. How do you cut it? How do you cut it?
Not with metal.
Yeah. By the way, I saw that there is a metal. Tzitzis manufacturers, they also often need to cut their thing. It's not hygienic, and it's not practical to start till all walk out with dentures. Otherwise, you know, if they start cutting with their teeth, so they don't use teeth.
Why did the cutting? You explained last week, but why did the cutting with the teeth help with the tasmin arsa rather than cutting with the super?
No, in terms of tasmin arsa, it doesn't make a difference. It's just cutting is a problem in terms of tasmin arsa either way. And we're saying that there's another problem as well, that you don't cut with metal, because metal is something which shortens the life. Generally, so therefore we spoke last week about plastic. Plastic knives and everything, which is fine as well. I did see that there is the manufacturer's nets as well. they have developed plastic scissors, which is used for that particular purpose, which is really good. So it's probably quite similar to the kids, the really young children, that, you know, the really, really young children scissors, which are made out of plastic, cannot cut yourself even how much you tried. So it's quite similar to that. So here again, the point is they use plastic as opposed to using metal. So Mishabu mentions over here that this minig of not using metal. Okay. Don't think so. Maybe.
They will. Or like,
right? Yeah.
There's tricks now. You just gotta dip the ends in super glue.
Yeah, super glue.
Or wax.
Yeah, or in fact, even hot water goes a long way as well.
Not a nibbly.
Yeah, clean bite. That's the way to do it. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, good. Okay, Rabbi Sad. To summarize, this evening we'll be discussing the more detailed how to do the tzitzis that we'll be discussing with Shem tomorrow evening. To summarize, this evening we spoke about the fringes are not to you disregard the fringes. However, there is a machloek is about this. We go to chumah both directions, and that's why the corners are nowadays done without the fringes. We also mentioned about the fact that the folds, Mishnah earlier told us, the folds are to be disregarded. In other words, you look at the actual bag, the material, and not the physical distance that you're seeing at this stage. We also spoke about you put four into the hole, and four into the hole, which turns out being eight. If you need to cut it at, before you make the double knot. And we're going to speak more details, Mishem, throughout the next few evenings. Okay, Rabbi Sai, wish you a very good evening.